Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, and the walking man, Dr. Jesse Turner, to our guest tonight, Central Connecticut State, Dr. Jesse Turner. Welcome back. Okay, I was setting this up in the first segment. You know, we're listening to the Ballad of Hollis Brown, originally put together by John Dillon, remade by Rise Against. The Rise Against video really focusing on the plight of the small local family farm. Johnny kind of helped us think about that. And so as a teacher, I want to teach the concept, or I want to teach about the plight of the small family farm in America, and the fact that the economic stability of putting in a hard day's work on that family farm, when they're up against corporate mega farming, the ability to make it is almost impossible. And some of the ways that that shows up is, even for me to go down the street to my local very small grocery store, my ability to buy from and help the economic future of the local family farmers is not in my local grocery store. I'm going to be buying chicken from Tyson. I'm going to be buying products from, you name it, from everywhere else. I have to then, I'm forced into a system that contributes to me taking away from the economic security of a family farm. If I teach that to my kids, to my fifth graders, what if I make one of them upset and offended and feel sad about the fact that they're contributing to the downfall of the American family farm? What am I going to do if I offend them? Because in today's world, I'm going to get banned if I offend a student for making them think about something systemic. Jesse, your thoughts.
Well, you know, if we think that education is a kumbaya moment, it's not. Paulo Freire always says, teachers have two choices, either educate to domesticate or to liberate. And what you're talking about is education for liberation. And education to liberate, that means tension. That means we face, you know, Maya Angelou said, history, despite its wrench and pain, if faced with courage, need not be relived again. But what if I make my money on reliving the same painful history over and over and over again? What if I make my money by closing factories down, mills down? What if I make my money by closing small farms down? You know, and so anybody that if you teach the truth in this nation that's probably owned by the lobbyists in D.C., I mean, I don't have parents who want to get their kids, you know, believe standardized tests are the most important things. But you and I, Tim, we've been fighting that battle for over a decade now. $1 trillion spent on high stakes testing to test kids. And what do we have? Their scores are lower than they were before we started this. So, you know, this is the stuff. It's about money. And I say, if we're going to educate, does not mean that it should be a wishy-washy thing. It should be tough, and history should be tough. We should question everything and ourselves. That's the Socratic method.
Well, it is. And Johnny, I'm kind of floating this to you, and you're not exactly sure it fits, but, you know, like, okay, if we go down this road even further, talking about this concept of poverty, right? You know, what if I called it critical poverty theory, the study of systemic poverty and its effects on individuals? You know, because when I think about people who are all up in arms about the critical race theory, when you hear about what they're offended by, it's this idea that we don't want racism taught as a systemic historical legacy in America. Well, I'm sorry. The last time I checked, the isms that we teach are systemic. And so you know, critical poverty theory, critical race theory, banning. The reality is that these bans are just simply banning uncomfortable truths. Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I like the comparison you're making, because I think it's, I don't think there's a direct equivalency, right? We were talking about that, because I think critical race theory is a very specific thing that is a response to critical legal studies, right? And to really addressing the way that, like you said, the legacy of anti-blackness and white supremacy is woven through this country's history and its legal system and into the structures like schooling in this country and whatnot. And so I like this, but I like the connection you're making with, should we begin to study systems? And I think we already do, but I mean, should we emphasize that the study of the root causes of those systems and the way that those, and way that something like poverty, right, is experienced, right? It's not genetically in your body, right? It's not something you're predisposed to. It's not a function of like human evolution or anything natural about it, right? It's structurally reproduced in societies, and it's experienced. And so anytime we look at the human experience, right, and I think that's the connection you're making here, right, with critical poverty studies as this sort of like floated out there, for if we were to focus on how do we experience poverty, how do children in our schools experience poverty, right? We don't have poor kids. We have children experiencing poverty, right? And we might, there's a slight language shift, right? Because certainly a kid experiencing poverty may identify as a poor kid, right? A lot of us growing up working class had an identity around what that meant, right? And it meant very specific things. And it also mirrored how much you mattered, not only to your school system, but to the government and to the state that, you know, you were a citizen in. And I think while there are some similarities, right, there's some important differences. And I think it's those intersections that you brought up before the show, right, that anytime we're looking at systems and the lived experience of a human, as a child in our schools and community, to not recognize race and racism is an injustice, to not recognize the way that structures of poverty influence the lives and the livelihood of young people is also an injustice. And right, and so I think you're right. It will raise eyebrows because it will make people who want an erasure of struggle, right, out of our schools. They want to paint a historical inaccuracy. And for me, it comes back to how much, Tim, are we going to teach against the truths, right, in our schools and classrooms? We have young people experiencing racism. We have young people experiencing classism and sexism, ableism. And then we have now in Florida, right, just recently, a ban on saying the word gay. So here we have bans on what we can teach. And I think when we come back, we can unpack that a little bit more, right?
More unpacking. Jesse, the Walking Man, Johnny, Busted Pencils back after the break.